It's 2.5 years into his presidency, and President Trump has dramatically reshaped the nation's courts. According to the advocacy group Alliance for Justice, the president has appointed 38 more federal judges than former President Barack Obama had at this same point in his presidency. And those judges tend to have a strong conservative agenda, including some who have a history of being openly against LGBTQ rights, immigration, and abortion. Ellie Mistal is the executive editor of Above the Law and the legal editor of WNYC's More Perfect. And he recently profiled 7 of those judges for The Nation. Welcome to the show, Ellie.
Thanks for having me.
So give us an overall picture of how the courts have changed over the last several years.
Well, they've lurched right. And this has been the long-term plan of Donald Trump, of Mitch McConnell and the Federalist Society. Donald Trump is kind of just the puppet who's delivering them this victory. Look, the Trump appointees now account for 14% of the overall federal judiciary. They account for over 20% of the circuit courts, which is that level right below the Supreme Court. And, of course, it counts for 22% of the Supreme Court because he's got 2 of the 9 justices on. So the rapidity at which he has been able to reshape the courts during his short 2.5 years is, in fact, his lasting legacy. I mean, think about Trump. We're talking about a man with no legislative experience and no legislative accomplishments. All he's done has been done by executive order. Most of those executive orders can and hopefully will be overturned by the next president. But the courts, these people that he's appointing, these people are there for life, and they are going to shape the law for the next 30 years, we're talking about.
So let's talk about, because this, as you said, this happened before Trump. I mean, let's talk about a little bit of the groundwork that the GOP laid before President Trump was elected. And I want to mention, you mentioned the Federalist Society. Tell us about them.
All right. So first, just with the groundwork, right? Everybody understands that Mitch McConnell blocked Barack Obama's nominee to the Supreme Court, Merrick Garland. But people don't understand that the Merrick Garland thing was the capstone on Mitch McConnell's career, right? Like, that was just the tip of the iceberg. He had been blocking Obama judges consistently throughout Obama's term, even when McConnell was the minority leader. So that by the time Trump took office, there were 106 seats within the federal judiciary that had not been filled by Obama. Now, I don't know if that's a record because, you know, George Washington had a lot of seats open to appoint too, but somewhere along the way, like, that 106 is an amazing amount of open seats. And that's why Trump, again, who doesn't really know what he's doing, has been able to fill with such rapidity. Now, the other side of this is that, okay, you have 106 seats open. Do you have 106 judges? And that's where the Federalist Society comes in. They have been planning this for a generation, right? So when you have this opening, the Federalist Society is a conservative, nonprofit legal group that claims to care about libertarian ideals and originalist thinking. But what that devolves to is promoting, incubating, training, finding arch-conservative justices who are against the progress that has been made since 1776.
But let's drill down into that, because if President Trump, as you've said, did, quote, doesn't know what he's doing, at least at the legislative level, President Obama, some would argue, did know. He was a constitutional scholar, et cetera, et cetera. Why did the Democrats drop the ball in this? Because it appears that having that many open seats would indicate not just that it was an Obama issue, but that there was some sort of systemic failure on the Democrat side. I mean, do they have an equivalent of the Federalist Society?
Right. So there's a lot to unpack there, and it's an important point. So first, let's start with the obvious. Like, Obama did try. McConnell was blocking him. At some point, you don't blame the person whose house it is because the arsonist came and burnt it down, all right? So, like, there's that, right? But beyond that, yes, I don't think that Obama and the Obama administration was hard enough and quick enough off the ball to fill the open seats that they could have filled when they had the Senate, when they had the 60-vote majority in the Senate. They were focused on other things. They weren't particularly focused on the courts. But that's not just a criticism of the Obama administration. That's a criticism of the entire Democratic Party and the entire progressive movement, which has, for a generation, been derelict in their duties about the Supreme Court. court, so that if you had given Barack Obama 106 open judges to fill, we don't have a list of 107 judges that we want to put on courts, because we have not done the organizational homework that a thing like the Federal Society
and
has done.
That strikes me as a real failure on the party side here of the Democrats. I mean, how could you have that many folks who are saying that just have no idea? They're just not capable of putting it together.
Right. So, well, the Democrats have been afraid to argue for the courts, right? Like, the Republicans have been... Republican voters are not smarter than Democratic voters. They're not more informed than Democratic voters. They have been told, Republicans, that if you want to kill abortion, if you want to stop gay people from kissing on each other in public, that the way to do that is through the courts. Democrats have not been told that if you want women's rights, and if you want voting rights, and if you want marriage equality, and if you want climate change policies, and if you want reasonable gun regulation, then you have to control the courts in order to do that. The Democrats have not made that issue plain and clear to Democratic voters, and that is why Democratic voters do not vote in midterm elections and off-year elections for the kinds of Democratic senators who are going to appoint progressive judges the way Republicans reliably come out to vote, simply because they know that whoever has an R next to his name is going to end up supporting a Republican justice.
So there's a messaging failure on the part of the Democratic Party. But what
can I also just say there's a money failure, because that's being made really obvious, I think, in this election cycle. Apparently, if you're like a rich billionaire who's liberal, you think that the thing to do with your billions is to serve your ego and run for president. You don't think that the thing to do with your buildings is to start a movement, to start an organization, to start that counterpoint to the Federal Society, or to fund many of the Democratic organizations that are out there trying to fight the Federal Society. The Federal Society is only, you know, Dahlia Lithwick, who writes for Slate and is great, and if you don't read her, you're missing out. You should read her. She has this great line that turns out buying a Supreme Court is not all that expensive. Y'all, you need about $250 million, right? And Democrats have that money, but they don't put it into buying the courts. The Republicans do, and they have, and that is why they're winning.
Ellie Mistal is executive editor of Above the Law and legal editor of WNYC's More Perfect and a contributing reporter for The Nation. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.